It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
1037 The Game's 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20 by 20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
And welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of the 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast, exclusively right here on 1037thegame.com and all other great podcast feeds we got going on. Because trust me, you want to be in on the action when it comes to the 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast, because we got all kinds of great insight into the world of pro wrestling. And we'll start things off looking at SummerSlam 2019, the biggest weekend of the summer. No doubt, at least for a couple more weeks, until AEW takes center stage with All Out, which, by the way, if you missed the SummerSlam preview podcast, we gave an in-depth kind of analysis on what's going to happen with the future of the show, along with predictions for TakeOver and for SummerSlam. Before we get to all that, let me give you a quick heads up. In case you missed it, we are going to be taking a little bit of a break from the podcast, largely because we're kind of just trying to get ready for a big transition. Basically, after this podcast, we'll take a couple weeks off, return to the podcast on August the 28th. That's the date we have penciled in. And that's when we're going to make a shift in the show's production. It'll wind up being just one show a week that week. When the 28th goes down, we'll do an all-out preview and anything else that kind of pops up in the world of pro wrestling. We'll give our observations on that and a whole lot more. And then starting September the 2nd, the day after the Labor Day, we'll be launching into a uncharted territory with an all-out review on Monday that'll happen before Raw is released. That's the plan going forward. On Mondays, if there's not a show, if there's not a pay-per-view, we won't do a show. Monday, if there is a pay-per-view on Sunday or Saturday, we will be with you and recap it all and give insight to you, the listener, when it comes to AEW, WWE, ROH, even Impact Wrestling, whenever they have a pay-per-view of relevance. But I think that's the biggest thing going forward, is on Mondays we'll have a pay-per-view review podcast whenever there's a pay-per-view. If not, there will be no show. Tuesdays will be Raw reviews. Wednesdays will be a SmackDown review. Also kind of a little bit of analysis on the two, which one was the better show that particular week. Of course, that'll wind up changing not long after the changes with SmackDown moving to Friday nights. So we wind up likely doing after October 2nd. We're going to figure all this stuff out in the next couple of months, is possibly having this be a Saturday 20 by 20 podcast, because I'll already be inside the studio recording. So why not do one right after Under the Dome with CD, which is on this station, 10 a.m. to noon. It's not a podcast exclusive. It is a terrestrial radio tradition unlike any other. But, of course, like I said, we're going to change some things up. But right now, the way it is Tuesdays will be Raw, Wednesdays will be SmackDown, which one was the better brand. And then Thursday, we'll do a AEW recap on Thursdays. And then Fridays, going to be kind of a little bit of an anything goes, or better yet, a pay-per-view preview podcast. It all kind of depends on what happens with the show. But, again, we're going to be very fluid after October starts up, because there's a lot of things going on that we need to kind of get to step by step. And I say we, I'm talking about the royal we, I'm talking about me, myself, and I, because I'll be the only one handling the show going forward. Cody, no longer part of the program, no longer part of the station. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it. NXT TakeOver was just absolutely phenomenal. The people that hated on NXT TakeOver Toronto are absolutely, positively, just pure-blooded haters. Because I'll tell you why this pay-per-view was absolutely outstanding, because of one thing and one thing only. They had quality matches all the way around. I felt like there was not a dud in the bunch. Of course, you had a couple dark matches. I'm not going to bring those up because they actually have something to do with storylines and NXT tapings. I'm not going to spoil those. The opener was absolutely fantastic. It made the Street Profits look legitimate up against the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Street Profits retained the titles, which I was definitely surprised about, because it felt like they were going to wind up losing the tag team titles because they've been featured on Raw so consistently, but it feels like they're not going to be used in a wrestling capacity. They're more of a advertising what's going on in the show so far and what is happening next. Also, it's very entertaining to see those two do that. And it's also free advertising for NXT, which is a whole different story for a whole different time. But, of course, we got to move on, talk about the Io Shirai and Candice LeRae match. I was just so glad Candice LeRae was involved in a match. And number two, Io Shirai is an absolute badass, and I absolutely love what she's been doing as of late. Absolutely phenomenal match all the way around between those two. Candice LeRae, underrated wrestler. I was so great to see her finally be part of a NXT TakeOver match in a wrestling capacity as opposed to being, you know, Mrs. Gargano. I want to see Candice LeRae wrestle more and maybe win matches because I love what she was able to do back in the day with Joey Ryan as the world's cutest tag team. Hopefully we see that Candice LeRae a lot more often. But, of course, Io Shirai gets the win. I'm not surprised. You want to be able to keep her as over as possible, especially the broken Io Shirai, because she is absolutely amazing. The entrance music, Titantron, everything about what she's done since turning heel is absolutely fantastic, and the way they've just developed her. And the fact she won by submission is even more intriguing, to say the least, at least from my POV. Another match that was just outstanding, an absolute banger. NXT North American title match, Velveteen Dream retains against Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. Number one, Velveteen Dream just knows how to make entrances amazing. You have him, first off, go for the most awesome thing ever, having the Mountie entrance music be part of the entrance, and then the Toronto Raptors dancers helping him out as well. Absolutely fantastic, and it was just all around a great match, top to bottom, start to finish. Velveteen Dream, I'd say it was a surprise. I feel like maybe Roderick Strong would have won it. That's who I picked on Saturday when I taped the 20 by 20 Prograps podcast previewing SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver Toronto. But Velveteen Dream retained, and I was definitely pleased with that because it shows that they're starting to build NXT up as that true third brand. This is something I've talked about a lot, is NXT is that third brand, but they still feel like they're the guy, they're their minor league team where after a big match, after they lose the titles, they're going to wind up getting called up. I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like they're going to start developing these guys as being in their own world, especially if the rumors are true that they're going to move NXT to FS1 on Wednesday nights. Again, that's nothing official, but it's something just to kind of keep an eye on going forward. And then you have the penultimate match between Shayna Baszler and Mia Yim. I absolutely loved this match. It was an absolute another banger of a match. If I want to still giving star ratings, this is probably going to wind up being a 4.25 star match. Went 14 minutes and absolutely just crushed it. Because of the fact that Shayna Baszler won by submission, the submission magician is just such a great gimmick for her, and it's working out so well. It would be great to see Mia Yim win, but it feels like she's just not ready quite yet. Her entrance was really cool, so the fact you have her kind of leave somebody hanging. Again, NXT TakeOver Toronto was fantastic. I'd recommend you check out that. All these matches I recommend, by the way. But I feel like Shayna Baszler and Mia Yim, it wasn't as great as, say, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, but it was definitely well worth the time it wound up being given. And then you got probably the most controversial match of them all, and that is Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I'll say this about the match. I absolutely loved every second of that, largely because of the fact it wasn't about what was going on in that 20 by 20 squared circle. It was everything around it, the hype surrounding it. The last time possibly these two guys would face off, and you had a straight-up wrestling match the first fall. Second fall was a street fight. What was going to happen with that third fall? And then they show it during the pre-show. The barbed wire, steel cage, Ambrose Asylum, the loony bin, I'm going to call it. It was just so unexpected when we saw it on television, on TakeOver pre-show. I lost my mind because I'm like, I have to watch this match. And right away, I knew some crazy crap was going to go down. And that's exactly what happened. Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano. Cole obviously wins 2-1 after a crazy finish where they both throw each other off of the top of the cage into the table, missing the first table completely, which would have looked even more badass. But absolutely just, it was a huge spot fest. People may not like that all that much, but it is positively delightful to kind of watch the entire thing go down. I recommend watching this again and again and again, especially if you love just the general chaos of things. People hated it because they were doing too much. Here's the thing. They're doing too much, but guess what? It works. It's all about getting your opponent to just give up, and just it's all about destroying your opponent, especially in a match with no rules, no disqualifications, pinfall in a steel cage surrounded in barbed frickin' wire. Absolutely insane, and probably one of my favorite matches between Gargano and Adam Cole. Bebe, can we have another 2 out of 3 falls match down the line? We shall see, but honestly, I just want to see Johnny Gargano stay with NXT rather than, you know, NXT his giant swan song, and then he goes on to the main roster to get jobbed. Again, personal preference right there, but I have to say, really overall, great takeover. Wasn't the greatest of all time, but it was pretty darn close, to say the least. Now we got to talk about the SummerSlam 2019 card. Wound up being 12 matches, was originally 12. They added Buddy Murphy and Apollo Crews, which was kind of waved off due to disqualification. And then the women's tag team titles are relevant again because, well, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross don't mind defending them because they defended them twice in a 48-hour time span against the Iconics and the Kabuki Warriors, winning both, retaining it. I'd definitely say they're the most fighting it women's tag team champions of them all. Absolutely love that fantastic match between those two to kind of wrap up the pre-show. Drew Gulak, Oni Lorcan, Drew Gulak, not surprisingly, retained. Absolutely, that was a really good match. Now, here's where I was thrown off. I did not expect Becky Lynch and Natalya to be the opener, because you think about it, just about four months ago, Becky Lynch was in the main event of WrestleMania, the first ever main event in WrestleMania history featuring all women. Now she's opening against Natalya, and I'll say this, it was a fantastic match all the way around. Just was very surprised at the fact they actually went through with it and had this be a submission match as the opening match of the card for SummerSlam 2019, at the main card, obviously. But I was surprised, and I was even more surprised that this is probably one of the best matches Natalya has ever had in WWE, because Becky Lynch and Natalya know each other so well, and we saw how impressive they were all the way around in terms of just developing themselves and building up that feud. And they worked so well together. The submissions were crisp. I mean, he had the sharpshooter on the second, on Brett's rope. I have never seen that before, probably never going to see it again, but it is just absolutely enticing to see that happen in a submission match. Becky Lynch wound up retaining, but it really showed that Natalya can hang with the best that the women's division has to offer. I wish she wound up being able to have a little bit longer of a feud, but we saw there was mutual respect between the two afterwards. And that wound up leading to Sasha Banks returning last night on Raw, which was positively fantastic. A well-done return, also a well-done heel turn at the same time. Goldberg Ziggler went about as well as you expected. A 2-minute match and an absolute squash of a match, because everybody saw it coming from a mile away, and they absolutely got trashed in that match. It was probably everything you expected and more. And I absolutely loved seeing Goldberg just destroy Dolph Ziggler multiple times after the match had already ended. Goldberg wins, no surprise there. AJ Styles and Ricochet, though, that was a surprise. Not because of the fact that it was actually like a good match. There was no surprise there. It was just, it felt a level below. Purely my opinion. Just a level below what we've seen from a lot of the WWE matches we've seen in the past with AJ Styles or Ricochet. Felt like another Raw match outside of one spot and one spot only, and that was the Hurricane Rana spot outside the ring where Ricochet wound up walking on people. That was some really cool stuff. But again, AJ Styles retains. No surprise there, because I feel like Ricochet should be chasing, and maybe he winds up being King of the Ring, setting him up for even bigger things down the line. We shall see. Another notable thing that happened was without a doubt Bayley beating Ember Moon, top rope, Bayley to belly suplex. Routine match, not necessarily the best for either superstar, but still pretty darn good. It won't be the best women's match of the night, but it's sandwiched right in the middle of some really good stuff. Then you have Kevin Owens beat Shane McMahon. Really quick match. I feel like Shane McMahon was pretty gassed the second he got to the ring. He wound up getting blue or purple at one point, which I think was a big reason why Kevin Owens won, because, well, once you get a boss purple or starts changing colors, you wind up getting away with a lot of stuff. So Kevin Owens beat Shane McMahon in a singles match, and it was just really well done how they wound up trying to stack the deck against him with Elias as a special guest enforcer. Didn't quite work out for anybody. And then you have Charlotte Flair defeats Trish Stratus as figure eight. Best match of the night in terms of the women. Just fantastic storytelling all the way around. Trish Stratus going for the figure four, trying to go for the sharpshooter as well. Then winds up into the figure eight. Charlotte Flair defeats undoubtedly one of the best women's wrestlers of the 2000s. And while I'm kind of underwhelming a lot of people, but I absolutely loved it. 16 minutes of pure gold from somebody who hadn't wrestled a big singles match in a long, long time in Trish Stratus, and undoubtedly the greatest women's wrestler of our time in Charlotte Flair. Would I have loved to see Charlotte Flair face somebody else? Of course, but I got to love what I saw from Charlotte Flair, Trish Stratus. I want to see Trish back in the ring on a more frequent basis because she has shown she still has it. And then the WWE title match was a real surprise, ending in a double countout. You're continuing the angle, but why not try and end it in a different way where Randy Orton winds up going too far and getting disqualified rather than in a double count? It makes both of them look like absolute Melvins. And then you have The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, beating Finn Balor in relatively quick fashion. The Fiend, just possibly the best entrance of all time. WWE has something really special with The Fiend, and they show that. And hopefully, you know, everybody was disappointed not seeing him on Raw. I'll say this. Give me anybody else on Raw. Leave Bray Wyatt and The Fiend out of it. Have Firefly Funhouse, but not have The Fiend in the ring every week during Raw or SmackDown. Because Bray Wyatt should be protected as much as humanly possible. And then the final match on the card, it is Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. And this was probably one of the best matches Brock Lesnar's had in his current run. 13 minutes, and he wound up lasting that long and looked fantastic from start to finish. A well-booked, a well-paced, and a great end to this feud now that they have announced that he doesn't have a rematch clause in place. Overall, SummerSlam 2019, and if I were to give it an overall rating, I'm going to go ahead and give it 4.25 stars out of 5. It was just as good as you needed it to be. You had only 12 matches. The show only went 3 hours and 30 minutes in terms of the main card. Obviously, you have the pre-show go 2 hours, which is too long. But that being said, overall impressive matches all the way around. No real dud. Maybe the Bayley Ember Moon match might be the worst one on the card. I'm obviously referring to the main card. Some of these left a lot to be desired on the pre-show, especially Buddy Murphy, Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews deserves a lot better than what he's getting. But that's about all the time I've got for the 20 by 20 Programs podcast. We're just making under 20 minutes today. I don't think it's going to be the plan going forward, because honestly, sometimes you just don't have a whole lot to talk about. But one more thing I just kind of popped in my brain again was the fact that WWE, this is for fans of Acadiana Sports Station, and know how much we love pro wrestling here on 103.7 The Game. WWE is postponing their live event at the Cajun Dome, which is supposed to happen not this weekend, but next weekend on August the 23rd, along with several other shows. This is coming from Wrestling Inc. and PW Insider originally reporting this. And this is actually going to be a postponed show until January 17th of 2020, which is a Friday night, by the way. And, you know, the speculation could be that this is going to be part of a SmackDown Live show where you'll be able to be as part of another live televised event, because Fox is once again going to have SmackDown Live on Friday nights, the Friday Night Death slot, but still really cool stuff that they're going to have SmackDown Live programming Friday nights. And again, this is all because of recent house shows across the country. Low attendance has been a big thing. And going forward, once the SmackDown moves to Fox, they will no longer do house shows on Monday nights, and the Blue brand will tour from Thursday to Sunday once that transition becomes official, likely meaning that you'll wind up seeing the brand split become a lot more tightened, so you don't have to worry about, you know, this stupid wild card BS. Like I said, the 20 by 20 Programs podcast, it is so over, dog. Make sure to subscribe through the 103.7 The Game podcast feed or however you catch us online all the time. Make sure you tune in next time when we come back on August the 28th talking Programs with you.